The regular meeting of the Monterey Peninsula Water Supply Project Governance Committee is now in session. It's Wednesday, December 16th at 2:05 PM. Welcome, good to see everybody here. We have a significant topic on the agenda for today. We'll start with public comment. Anyone wishing to address the governance?
Do you want to do a pledge of allegiance?
Oh.
I don't care, but.
You're trying to get out by three and I am too. Okay. Well, let me get back to the agenda, which is not as familiar to me as some of the others. First roll call, we have Supervisor Potter, myself, Ron McLean present. We are missing our representative from the Water Management District. Okay.
Bob has the flu and just emailed in like 80 minutes ago that he wasn't going to make it, so we're trying to track down Jean.
She cannot be here.
Okay.
So we've gone through that process. Let's start with the pledge of allegiance. And could I turn to Supervisor Potter?
Please join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
And in fact, roll call for a moment. I realize I may be an unfamiliar face to some people in the audience, not to me, but I'm here in lieu of Jason Burnett, who is not available. I'm Bill Camp. I'm representing the Regional Water Authority for today. So now we'll move on to public comment. This is general public comment. Any topic not elsewise on the agenda within the scope of the governance committee. Does anyone wish to speak under general public comment? Seeing none, we'll close general public comment and start with the presentation. We're going to get a progress report from Cal-AM on the Monterey Peninsula Water Supply Project, including updates on production and test slant well. And welcome, Ian.
Good afternoon. Ian Frist with Cal-AM, thanks.
Ian, I just Supervisor Potter said he has to go at 3, so we need to pace ourselves based on that, okay?
Cut the clock.
It's on the screen.
All right, I'll move quick. This is our overview. We'll go to the next slide, we'll get right into it. This is our typical summary schedule, which we have always shown in the past. I've added a few elements just to, as we make progress, to show some things. We still have our EIS process being completed in 2016. Coastal Commission out in Q1, Q2 of 17, and in between will be the federal approval. So I've added a little detail there. And then if we jump down to what we've completed here in the last couple months, is the source well contracts, which the governance committee approved on December 1. So I've added that element so you can see that. And then the pipelines and tanks were in front of you today to bring forward the bids for your consideration on the pipeline and the what we're really calling the conveyance facilities, which encompasses all these. And so now that we have all that work done, then we can begin pre-construction planning activities with these contractors, along with our continued planning work with and design work with CDM Smith on the desal plant. All that to say that you know, our target here is to start construction by Q2, Q3 of 17, call it middle of 17, as soon as we get out of coastal. And then through these two contracts, big items that we were able to nail down was that we can do both of these projects in 15 months. And so we're continuing here in the desal plant to, as we start construction, when these complete these elements would feed what we need at the plant to get it up and running. So that's our latest look at it, still holding about Q4 to 19 startup for the desal plant. That's our overall schedule. Next slide. This is a little bit on the test well. As you know, we had a down period because of the permit amendment, and then on October 27th, we start the well back up. And we've been running for about 50 days now. And all in all, we have, well, today we could be approaching 100th day. We're right near there. So this is just an update since the well's been running. This is when the well was running the first time, April 22nd to June 5th. This is the window. Don't need to really touch on that, but here's where the well started. That should be October 27th. So we started running the pump or the test well, and these are the major on-site monitoring wells, 1, 3, and 4. 4 being our compliance point. You can see the drop in water levels at 1 and 3, which is expected, which is always was expected. And 4, which is again our compliance point, there's really no change. And this is a blow up of monitoring well 4. Same thing, shallow, medium. This is a deep zone that we proved, the hydrogeologist proved that we have no impact in the deep, so we don't even need to look at it so much anymore. Here's a shallow, medium, and with the well running here, there's again no change. You can see it's just an overall trend, and the test well really has no impact that far out. There's plenty of technical data to support that. That's the latest on the test well. And then as far as what you'd consider salinity, this is the specific conductivity of the well. This is back when it was running in April and June, and the trend line, you sort of, this is where we started. You can see here when we started the well was down here, it quickly bounced up. Kind of the same trend here, it started a little bit higher than here because this is where, you know, the salinity was increased. It bounced up and you can see the trend. And right now we're approaching 90%, we're in that range. More data to come. And that's it on that slide. That's it on the updates. Glad to take any questions.
Do we have any questions from the committee? All right, the one question I have is, what is the target salinity?
We'd like to be around 96%.
So there's still a ways to go.
Yeah, 5 to 6%.
Okay. Thank you very much. We will now move on to item number 2, report from Cal-Am Water on addressing the possibility of risks associated with storms and sea level rise. Who would be it again?
I did. So this was brought up at the last governor's committee, and I thought we'd provide some quick background on the test well locations. So the test well, or not the test well, but the ultimate slant well locations were chosen for consideration of storm and long-term erosion. And just this way of background, these bullets provide a little bit of background on what's considered a 100-year storm, and that's what was some of the consideration in the location of the wells. Some of the changes, of course, to these erosion and storm events are listed here. You have local erosion, long-term erosion, sea level rise, all of what, again, be considered in the EIR, or the EIR considers. And of course, to minimize any impacts from those, of course, you avoid the areas. So, here on this map, we show the what's represented here in the blue is a 100-year event, and here in the black would be a 500-year event. This is a desal plant site, and this is the bank of wells.
I'm sorry.
This is where the wells would be. So you can see we're significantly back from that, and see here, this can show it a little bit better. The original location of the wells when this project started was a little bit closer, but after a further analysis, it was determined as well for the test well to place it back further behind the 2060 long-term erosion and the 2040 100-year stubborn. So that's about where that's estimated to be there. We're located behind those dunes right there, back in here. The blue here shows what the ocean basically would sort of look like. So we're significantly set back from the ocean, about 800, 900 feet back. This is just a tsunami map, inundation map provided by this, map generated by the state and study. And again, we're on the previous slide, you saw the black area that kind of showed that this map is about a 500-year storm. But even then, we're still pretty safe.
And all these items weren't addressed during the coastal process?
They're addressed in the EIR.
I would have thought the Coastal Commission would have, based even on the test well, said, what about erosion and what about sea rise?
Yeah, they're all considered in the EIR. It was brought up at the last meeting. We thought we'd just provide a little high-level overview. And so that's the conclusion of where we put our wells and why we did it, so.
A question, what is the estimate for sea level rise between now and 2040? Or any other date you happen to have? And I'm asking partly out of curiosity on this project, but we're also doing a local coastal plan in Pacific Grove, and it's a hot topic.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, thanks.
Good question.
It's in the EIR, but I don't remember the number. Okay. It's part of the memo on the back.
Any questions? Thank you very much. We'll now move to our primary action item, which is review and develop recommendation on California American Water Notification number 11, execution of construction contract for Monterey Peninsula Water Supply Project conveyance facilities. And the action is the committee will review notification number 11 and make a recommendation to California American Water. So with that, and I'll bet Ian's presenting again. Welcome.
All right, third item here. This is a conveyance facility which we showed on the schedule earlier. Calling it the conveyance facility because it encompasses everything outside of the plant site and the well. So it's listed here on the slide that basically all of our pipeline work plus the terminal reservoirs and seaside plus any the two pump stations that we have to build. And just a little detail on the RFP proposal process. We had seven contractors that we pre-qualified for the RFQ. We sent RFPs on August 17th, received the proposals on November 4th. And one of the things that we had in the proposal was that the contractors needed to show us pricing and schedule for a 15, 18, and 24 month schedule. We wanted to know if they could do it and what would the price be for those schedules. And the other option was, out of the seven packages above, do you want to bid on the whole package? Do you want to bid on an individual package? And then also, the contracts themselves are not just a lump sum, they're unit price contracts, so we have visibility into pricing. And as you know, when you build pipelines, it's very, a lot of things can change when you're actually ripping up the street. So we got unit pricing that we have, again, visibility into. This is a summary of how the proposal pricing came out. When we received them on November 4th, in the black is a low price for each of those packages, seven that were listed earlier. And so this is our proposal to you, to the Governance Committee. We're recommending that we are going to award a package, contract package to Garney for these three items. And then Mountain Cascade for this SVR brine item near the desal plant. And then MPE for three other packages. So the combination of these low bid items is $92 million plus I have a $2.5 million allowance for electrical. So about a $94, $95 million package for the three contractors. Out of these contractors, they all held pricing the same for 18 or 24 month construction. Not that it's that relevant at the moment anymore. Mountain Cascade had a slight change in price, but it was a non-material change. And then And then also, as part of the package, of course, we didn't just look at price, and that's, we had that pretty detailed in the proposal. We evaluated all proposals on their technical ability and their business, financial included cost. And this just generally shows the rankings among the six proposers of how they ranked in each package. And this lines up also with how they came out on cost. So it's the same outcome as the prior slide. This is a slide that gives some indication of pricing compared to our prior numbers in 2013. So we have 2012 dollars, but it's a 2013 update. And these are all the different elements of what we bid out, plus all the what you consider allowances or contingencies. And then, so the old price is about 111. All in all, we're 130 with these new packages, so about $19 million higher than what we had estimated back here. And so the pricing did just come in a little higher than we anticipated. And of course, a reminder that we did not do value engineering yet. So we're going to do that early next year, and I expect us to be able to get some savings from that effort. And so if you take the conveyance facilities and you combine it with the other stuff that we have, source wells and the desal plant, this is what the project looks like now with the old numbers and the 6.4. The large plant, 9.6, is still the same dollars. And you may ask, well, why was that if the conveyance facility is a little higher? Well, some of it is related to just that we now have hard numbers, so our contingency allowance doesn't have to be as high as before. So we have some savings on the contingency allowance. And so all in all, we're saying there, but on the smaller plant, the delta between the two plants is not previously the gap that we previously thought. So it's a little tighter on the 9.6 and 6.4 plant. And so in conclusion on the RFP for the conveyance facilities, we are comfortable that the contractors can build all the facilities in 15 months. That's assuming we have reasonable permit limits within the cities when we're building these. And we have to also, we'll come forward again later as we get into details, but we have to look into procurement necessary, any advanced procurement that's necessary to get stuff rolling. And the contracts themselves, similar to source wells, limits our exposure, and it's only at Cal-Am's authorization. And so we have up to about 1% of the total in costs that are considered. So one is $500,000 for pre-construction act. Well, you can say they're general administrative overhead. It depends on our authorization when we require those things to be started. And then another $500,000 about for actual detailed planning and community outreach, meeting with the cities, determining how to build this facility within the time allotted. And we expect most of this spending to occur anyway after CPCN and before we start construction. So that's, in conclusion, that wraps it up for the RFP.
Thank you very much. We'll now open up for public comment.
A couple of questions. The Stolt Water Management District. Two questions. One, the SVR and Brine pipeline, the bid was only about 150,000 different between Mountain Cascade and MPE, and pretty close to the other, the Garney was the. Is, from a project management perspective, wouldn't it be better to have two contractors instead of three contractors? Was it opportunity there to match the cost? You know, you've already got MPE under
under three other items. And then secondarily, not to pick on MPD now, for the pump stations, their bid was like half of everybody else's or even less than half of one of the higher bids. Were there the technical review consistent that you're going to get what you were looking for?
Why don't we go through public comment and we'll get answers to the questions that come up during public comment. Does anyone else wish to speak at this point? I think we have representatives of some of the contractors in the room. Tom, you want to?
Just pick a hand. Tom Raleigh, representing Monterey Peninsula Taxpayer Association. I was out of town for a month, just got back Thursday, so I heard a rumor that there may be some additional facilities related to brine disposal, like a reservoir or some kind of increased upgrade that may add costs to what's in these. And I just, you know, I don't know where I heard that or it was an email while I was gone. If they could answer if that's for real or is that just a rumor? Thanks.
Okay. Any other comments that, if there are any questions that our contractor representatives can answer, we would, of course, be able to do that. So, seeing no further public comment, we'll close public comment. We have a couple questions on the table, and I guess, Ian, they go first to you. One is two contractors versus three for a modest savings.
Yeah, Dave, I just did the math. I think it's $257,000. That's the difference. So
$250,000.
So for me, just Rob talking, that was worth selecting a third contractor.
Yeah. And I just add it was one small part of the project. It wasn't. So we can manage that.
Okay. And these are sufficiently isolated and compartmentalized that.
Right. Yeah, it'd be different if this contractor was in the middle of the other.
Yeah.
Feed line, yeah.
Okay. So the part two question was the pump station differential. I was looking at that and thinking, I'll bet MPE's looking at this table and say, and I would, Ian, first invite your thoughts. Yeah. Which had to do with, are we sure that the proposal is responsive to the requirement, but also would offer the opportunity for Mr. Bruno to say something if he'd like.
Yeah, just on the numbers, it looks like they're about just a little bit less than $1 million difference between them and the team of Granite Construction and Rados Construction. Mm-hmm.
So didn't the panel actually realize that and ask that question at some point? I mean, I'm glad Mr. Stoll raised it instead of me because I didn't want to irritate Mr. Bruno by asking a pertinent question, but I would have thought that that would have been looked at seriously by the panel to just make sure that there was no bid inconsistencies, you know, omissions or what generated $1 million difference. I mean, if I was Mr. Bruno, I'd be disappointed my estimator left that much money on the table. But.
Yeah, so we did look at some of the things, and we're putting forth a future effort when we do value engineering to make sure we have things covered. It is about, as Mr. McClain said, it was about $1 million difference between them and Granite. We looked at it, and I think I'm comfortable with what they proposed. Maybe it's their local knowledge that can help, and they're
right down the street.
Yeah, they're based here, whereas others, it's a bigger effort for them.
So is the value engineering going to drill down into that more? And
yes, we will. We're going to come into it, yeah.
Well, we did speak up earlier about local preference.
Yes.
So
I would also say, and I'll say this while Paul's in the room, they will be signing a contract. We'll have a bid bond. I don't know if we'll have a performance bond, Lori, or not. But they will be held accountable to deliver the project for that price. And I feel comfortable in saying NPE has been in this position before with Cal-Am, and they've delivered, so that was part of the reason we were comfortable selecting them. In my experience in this field, this looks significant, but that doesn't mean that NPE has done the work wrong. That just means they may have different drivers and different factors than other contractors. So we will be looking for them to deliver this at the price they will contract for. And if they don't, there'll be consequences. And that's just part of the business that we're in.
Paul just whispered, "Oh, they wanted pumps in the station?"
Well, it's our job to ask questions.
Yes.
And we're not just supposed to sit here and nod our heads.
Yes.
So, yeah. You know, that's part of our responsibility. So who did Granite partner? Who's Rados?
That was Steve P. Rados. It's a large company, Sacramento area. Mm. And
I don't care, I was just curious.
They were originally two separate contractors, but during the process they combined to create one JV.
I guess we're comfortable with Garney's experience in this world.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, in looking at those numbers, I was thinking, okay, of the seven different projects, it seems to me that pumps may be the one that's most straightforward. Knowledge of streets, I can understand. And speaking of streets, one of the questions was, do we have a map available to us to show where these different facilities actually are?
Yes, we do.
Because I think that might be helpful for some of us, at least, to understand what's going on. I did have a question on the conditional statement you made about assuming the permitting through the different jurisdictions goes as expected. And I know that we've had questions come up from some jurisdictions, more than one, in terms of the routing of some of these facilities. Any uncertainties there in terms of what that might imply for final project definition?
No, I think there's general consensus at the staff level where we're routing this. We've been engaged with them for some time. They've reviewed plans and at Seaside and Monterey. And I think we're on the right path. We've been meeting with Monterey quite a bit recently,
okay.
But I think we're on the right path.
And ultimately, the CPUC gets a voice in this as well, as I understand it?
Through the EIR process.
Through the EIR, yeah.
Where are your negotiations with TAMC on the rail right away?
Yeah, it's a good question. I just met with the conveyance engineer yesterday, and we talked about that. So we'll be coming. Between us and TAMC, we got to do the appraisal process. But we're ready to get going.
So any other aspects of this that we need to discuss, or do we have a motion? I think one thing to note is the careful partitioning of the kind of the pre-notification to proceed expenses, the exposures versus the far larger portion that happens after the CPCN and the notification to proceed. So that's helpful to know in this process.
Are we going to see the outcome of the value engineer?
Yes.
That'd be comfortable.
Okay, so the question is, what motion do we need? This protocol is a little bit new to me.
Well, we have a recommendation to approve what's before us today, which is to the execution of the contract, but I don't know if we're at that point for me without seeing the value engineer. And are you going to execute a contract prior to value engineering?
Yeah, the plan is to do that because the selected contractor will participate in the value engineering, and then there will be deducts or additions. That's how we did the desal plant and how we will do the wells as well. So that's been the strategy, is get the contract executed, have that contractor participate in the VE, and go through that process. The VE is scheduled, was it second quarter next year? Is that something like that?
Yeah,
March, April.
Sure.
You want to make a motion?
I'd move approval.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 2-0. Thank you very much, and I think that means we move.
Unless there's objections to the accuracy of the minutes that were here for December 1, the meeting I wasn't here for, but neither were you, so we can still approve it, so I'll go ahead and move approval.
I'll second. I have to go out and say, do we have any public comment on the minutes before we take the vote? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 2-0. And item number 5 would be suggested items to be placed on future agendas, and I think the one that's certainly come up is the value engineering review on this particular item and other items as they arise through the project. So anything else that we need?
Well, I'm toying with the idea of having us take a look at the legal costs that have been incurred through litigation, specifically by Marina Coast, who seems to be the most consistent litigant with a great deal of associated expenditures. And I mean, I'm speaking as a Monterey County supervisor who's been sued multiple times by that organization, and what that has done to the process as a whole. I think it deserves a public hearing. I mean, I've looked to counsel. Charles?
Yes.
It doesn't seem to be on anybody's radar except those of us that get litigated. And it's been costly, it's been annoying, and it's very, very non-productive to collaborative solutions to water problems in this area. And we didn't discuss this, but...
No, I think that would be a great service to the community. I'm not sure how we would best accomplish getting a good presentation on it. I don't envision Marina Coast coming here to provide a good presentation.
Well, my intent would be that I don't think the ratepayers understand what this is costing them as the ratepayers in Marina Coast jurisdiction. And I think that because nobody sees this, nobody understands it. And it's horrific, the amount of money that's been wasted and the amount of time for not. I mean, they haven't gotten anything, and yet they continue to do it. And this last one has kind of just pushed me over the threshold of saying, I'm publicly annoyed instead of personally annoyed. And I think it's time to say, look at what's going on in this community without any regard to the people who are paying the bill.
So perhaps you can coach us. Is this body one that could conduct that within the scope of what we've been established to do, which I'll have to admit is a little bit of a stretch for my... I absolutely sympathize with what you're saying. And it seems to me it'd be great to be able to do this with a group that can meet in Marina where those ratepayers are that ultimately are, I think, somewhat exposed to the cost incurred by their local water district.
I think this body is set up to focus on the project. And the litigation.
We've just gotten sued over the project.
Yes, and the litigation has impacted the test well costs. They have filed another litigation on the appeal of the test well.
And we seem to be focused on the financial aspect to a large extent as the governance committee, so I don't think it's outside of purview.
Yeah.
I mean, council's here, but.
I think it will be tough to focus on the Marina Coast components.
Well, I don't care if you want to throw them all in there.
Yeah.
Everybody else is fine.
Maybe something we can look at.
Well, we can chat as to how to discuss with the chair and see how we want to structure it. And it doesn't have to be at the next meeting, but I think at some point it needs to be here. You could maybe take it to the authority, but I don't know if they have the same level of frustration as those of us that have been in court multiple times.
We'll look for some legal advice from Don or someone in terms of how do we find a forum for that purpose?
Tom Riley, two items. One, I assume the answer to the question that I asked in the last item was no, that there's not reservoir in Bryan. But anyway, I can get the answer to that later.
Yeah,
I'm assuming it's no. But the other item is...
No, it's yes. Rich.
Do you want to address it now?
Why don't you finish what you're saying?
Well, then the second item is something that I brought up. You weren't here, Bill, but I think Supervisor Potter and Mr. McLean, and I think Jason was here earlier this year. I don't remember which meeting. It might have been April, June. physical security. Most of the, you know, so far it's been focused on the site of the test slant well. We know what's going on in the world. It's kind of crazy right now. And I would hope that in working, Cal-Am working with the various contractors, either you or somehow have a good security plan, physical security plan, for all the facilities that are being built throughout. And that includes, you know, the pipelines that run through the city. The potential for hanky-panky is really great. So, and that's the last thing we need to hold up the critical water project that we need, whichever it is, as soon as possible. So I raise this again. I have not heard any discussion anywhere at this, and I've reviewed the minutes very carefully for each one of these meetings. So again, it's a concern. Maybe it's my old military days, I guess. So.
Okay, so we'll note that one for future consideration. Do we have an answer? And if I could invite you up to make it part of the audio record here.
Hey, good afternoon, Rich Spindlin, Cal-Am. So the question was, he's heard rumors about brine and how we handle that. So we don't know what the answer is yet as far as what the solution is to the problem, but we have allocated dollars to the problem. And so right now in the current estimates, we've allocated $7 million. And then we have contingencies that get added to that number, so that's grossed up a little bit more. And then we still have the $26 to $28 million contingencies overall for the project. So we have addressed that. The other comment on the brine is in the settlement agreement that we reached 2 years ago, we allocated about $6.9 million for the same issue. We're basically holding that same number as we go forward.
And the issue is?
The brine. Basically, what is it dispersed? How do we handle the environmental impacts of the brine disposal?
Yeah.
Do we need to modify anything either at our plant or PCA's plant or the outfall itself? And we just provided dollars to cover that at this point.
It's a very good question, Tom, because you dealt with the intake issue as far as the Coastal Commission goes with subsurface, but the brine disposal and the potential for brine mounds and the impact of that, and you know, the turbidity in the ocean isn't such that it breaks up the brine and it disperses. I think that's a, you know, a little bit of a soft spot when it goes before the commission.
Yeah, and specifically the question related to a recent discovery that prompted a new element, and what it sounds like is this has been there, the same issue has been there all along in roughly the same form. How
Correct.
Do we dispose of brine in the most environmentally friendly way?
And there's a couple ideas that have, or issues that have popped up that we're working through with the various agencies.
Okay,
so they're not new. I mean, it was a rumor.
Right.
They've been around for almost a year.
All right.
So
new questions are being asked about the same issue.
Yes.
So it's exactly. Brian and the security issue that Tom's looking for an answer to.
Okay.
I'd agree.
Yeah,
and I do remember you bringing it up.
Tom, if I could comment on the security issue. Subsequent to your comments about the test well, we have taken some actions. On the overall facilities, there will be a full security design like there is with any of our facilities. We work closely with Homeland Security and all the agencies that that deal with those issues. We probably will not be talking about that publicly, though. This is the kind of stuff that we're not going to give a presentation on. But
here's where the secret door is. Okay, thank you very much. With that, anything else? Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.